Total Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDE and US 1035. Here's your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome to the Total Access Show. Bucs, big loss this week. 31-6 to the defending Super Bowl champions. And unfortunately for the guy sitting next to me, I haven't had an opportunity to really interview him or really have a conversation even outside of the interview room. And this isn't exactly the circumstances I wanted to bring you in. And, you know, you're going to think I'm a bad guy because I got to ask you the tough questions. But welcome, Geno Hayes.
How you doing, Dave?
Number 54, how we doing, all right?
I'm doing good right now.
All right. Well, you had a 24 hours to digest this and look at the film. And what is quickly just your assessment of yesterday?
Oh, we just got to make tackles, man. We got to go out there and really just execute what we got to do on defense. Guys got to be in the right gaps. And really, when we're in the gaps, got to make the plays that's right in front of us and really stay true to what we are really around here about. You know, stay true to our beliefs and our core beliefs and just really make the plays we got to make.
Now, after you did watch the film, was it something that the Saints were doing special, something you didn't expect, or did it just come down to execution?
As far as the passing game, they really didn't do anything special. I mean, other than that, the run game, they did a couple different things with the personnels and how they got to some of their basic runs and different personnels. But other than that, they didn't do anything big or something that we couldn't adjust to. I mean, it was just all about us killing ourselves. So we got to step up and really start making those plays.
Well, if you guys want to call listeners and ask Geno Hayes a question or comment and be gentle because he's a good guy.
Phone numbers,
Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, there's two of them, 546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. So before one of the callers calls up here and asks the question, what happened to the run game?
Oh, man, the run game was just something that we have to really look at the tape and evaluate ourselves because it was all about us. It wasn't something that they were doing, you know, really just going down our throats and really forcing it like we were just a soft team. It wasn't that. It was really us being out there and not making the tackles that need to be made and not being in the right gap sometimes and just really getting a little lost in adjustments as far as making checks and things. But other than that, it wasn't anything they did that was real big.
Well, let's talk philosophy of this Raheem Morris defense. It's a gap defense, which means every guy is responsible for a gap. It's good because when you watch a film, it's a little easier to see who's responsible for what. You know, there's different philosophies. There's two gaps and then there's single gaps. You know, is it one area or was there breakdowns over the course of the game across the board?
I think it was more of it was across the board. We could have had, you know, a lot of guys go out and make a more conscious effort to make plays. And I think it's more of guys is really not, you know, trying to, you know, be on the details of thinking what's going on sometimes. And that thing right there, I mean, those kind of things can kill you in a game versus a team like New Orleans who take advantage of anything you give them. Because, I mean, that's a good team. They're the defending champs. And if you give them any kind of breathing room, they're going to take advantage of and run with it. So it's all about us making those plays, like I said.
Right. And then, you know, Sean Payton, he's got so many formations, so many personnel groups. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a long period of time where I don't think I even saw the same play. Going into the game, were you expecting to concentrate more on the pass? Or I mean, you knew you had a rookie running back, this guy Ivory. Yeah. I'm not even sure where he went to college.
I think it was Division II school, I think it was.
Yeah, well, somebody told me it was in Ohio, and then I heard on the radio it was in California. I'm not sure we even know where it is, but – you know, this guy rushed for 158 yards. Were you thinking pass? I mean, did you think that the run was going to be secondary or what?
Going against a team like New Orleans, automatically you'll think pass first because of the guy at quarterback. You got Drew Brees, who's a smart guy, who's savvy at doing what he's doing best. I mean, a guy like that who knows our defense in and out, he can make ticks at the line of scrimmage just from the look alone, you know. So going in, I mean, we had different packages going in for the game, and, you know, they took advantage of the run game, man. That's the credit to them, man. It was bad on our side.
Did you guys take some chances and come after him with the blitz? Or, you know, a guy like that, you got to believe that you got to be careful when you blitz him. Because when you take somebody out of coverage to put pressure on the quarterback, you're leaving an area of the field open. Yeah, so you got to kind of try to get pressure with the front four. I mean, did you do a lot of blitzing or not?
No, I don't think we did a lot of blitzing. It wasn't that much blitzing because, I mean, with a guy like Drew Brees, he can easily make that blitz turn into a touchdown. So you have to be a little smarter than when you want to do. I mean, we had blitzes called. We had to check out of them because of the offensive scheme they have going on, you know?
With the formation.
The formation they have bringing
out. Was there a lot of communication because with all the motions?
Yeah, it's a lot of communication going on in the field, and that's something that has to go through one guy to the next guy and just spread around the whole defense so everybody get the call and the check.
And that's like when John Gruden had the offense here, you know, the playbook was a thousand pages.
Yeah, I saw it too.
But the positive to that is you always have a play or an answer or a formation makes it very difficult on the defense. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, I mean, you got to learn a ton of plays. I mean, was it hard when you studied film of trying to get the checks or not?
Actually, I don't think it's really not that hard because even though they come out with a lot of different formations, they come out with different formations, but they run the same plays.
So it's more window dressing.
Yeah, it's more window dressing. You have to really recognize what they're doing and what they're trying to do. So once you recognize that as a defense, as a whole, and everybody's on the same page, I mean, they wouldn't have anything that they tried to get out there on Sunday.
Right. Well, the one big play that they gave up for the touchdown over Aqib,
yeah.
We just listened to Raheem Morris, and he was saying that was a check. Was that something that wasn't relayed, or was that something where you just didn't get it, or what?
Yeah, like I said before, I mean, you have to – it starts at one guy, and everybody have to relay it around everybody. I mean, one guy got it, and then the next guy got it, but one guy didn't get it because the next man didn't, you know, look at him and say, well, here goes a check, man, and he didn't get it. So it's one of those plays, one of those deals where everybody have to be on the same page. If you're not on the same page, one player can, you know, mess the whole defense up if they don't get the check.
There's no question. Geno Hayes is our guest today. If you're just joining us, the phone numbers, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, toll-free 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. Well, let's go back a little bit philosophy-wise. What did Raheem say today in meetings?
He just told us, you know, can you hear me? He's just telling me, telling a lot of guys, you know, really that what we put on tape is really we're not there. We played hard, but we didn't play as hard as we should have played. You know, he pointed out a lot of things about guys didn't go that extra mile to make this play here or go the extra mile to make that play there. So it's more of us really just sitting back and really, like, critiquing our craft and really saying if you really went hard, you have to evaluate yourself. And that's one of the things he's been preaching since he's got into the head position. It's like if you're going to be a man in this business, you have to be able to go home and take what you messed up on and come back and reevaluate yourself as a player, as a man. And if you want to get better, then you'll get better. If you don't, you just stay the same and you'll drop. So that's how he goes, and that's how he goes about around this business.
Well, it looked as the game went on that, you know, really they had control of the line of scrimmage. You know, and you made reference to some missed tackles. You know, were there a lot of missed assignments, missed tackles, or was it really just that they took control of the defense?
It wasn't that they took control of the defense, because if we would have been on our screws and bolts, I mean, they really wouldn't have anything in the run game. That's honestly speaking from watching tape. But, I mean, like I said, if you have a miscommunication here, a miscommunication there, I mean, it kind of screws the whole defense up. And what it's supposed to do, it doesn't really happen because you have one man out of position and one man out of the play. So,
well, there's no question that, you know, you guys got a lot of time. You got a young football team. And one of the reasons there wasn't a lot of expectations going into this season was because you guys have a lot of young guys. And there's going to be some inconsistent play that happens, along the defensive line and things like that. But so what do you learn from this? What do you take away from a game like this?
Oh, first and foremost, you take away the point of knowing what the offense is coming at you, what your opponent is going to do, and being the head of the game. So that's the first and foremost. You have to know what's going on. You have to be able to, you know, to really catch on to the formation they're bringing at you. You know, no matter how much the shifting and the moving motions they're doing, I mean, they go back to the same plays even no matter what. So just have to, I think the first thing we have to do is really have everybody's on the screws about what's going on in the game, what the game plan is about, because if you have one man missing, like I said, it takes the whole defense out of whack.
Tough. And how much more difficult is it to be, you know, a defender when you can't stop the run or make them one-dimensional?
Ah, trust me.
I can imagine the answer to this. But we're going to get all these out of the way, and then we're going to talk about some other stuff.
You know, because to me personally, I was bred from high school on up. I mean, anybody that runs the ball on is really just disrespect. And in that case being said, I mean, we have to really go out there and just really stand up as a defense and say, hey, we got to quit it. And everybody has to be on the same boat. you know, because a run game is something that you can really take away from a team and really force them to play into your hands. And that's something that Coach Raheem is really good at with the schemes on passing games, because he knows the premium looks and things like that. So if we can stop the run, it'll have a better position for our DBs and linebackers and sometimes DNs to get interceptions and picks, you know, things like that to get cause turnovers. So once we get that running game stopped, it's better for us as a defense, because now we get off on third down like we should have this game, this past game, but we didn't, and it showed. The running game can really throw you off a little bit.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot because it gives you the opportunity to use some schemes and some things against protection. Yes. So you can kind of play the run second if you can get them in third and long. And, you know, that's something we talk about a lot, but I figured I'd ask, you know, the guy right in the middle of it. And you're down 17-0 at halftime. What did Raheem say to try to – did you guys make adjustments, or did you just say, hey, we just got to do our jobs but do them a little bit better? Or, you know, everybody knows as a player being in the locker room that, you know, when you're not playing as well as a defense or an offense, you try to do a little more than your own job. And sometimes you're peeking your head because somebody's not keeping their gap next to them, and then you wind up being out of your own and you give it up. You know, what did he say to try to get you back on track?
He just told us what he always tells us at halftime, man. It's not them doing that's killing us. It's us killing ourselves. I mean, we the ones who are giving the big plays up that shouldn't be made. You know, we got to go out there and stop those plays. We got to go out there and do our job. And like you said, we got to go out there and do it at a higher level. We're not doing it as high as we wanted to. So once we get to that level where we can do it consistently and just go out there and just kill it every play on every down basis, I mean, we can be great, and that's something we have to work on.
Now, how do you – this is a tough question. I don't know if you can answer this, but how do you do that? I mean, how do you just get back to basics? I mean, how do you answer that as far as the missed tackles and the gaps and stuff like that, you know?
As far as missed tackles –
it's not like you can practice tackling in practice.
I mean,
you know,
if you can't tackle by now, you're in the NFL as a problem. But I think really to answer that question, I mean, when it comes down to a missed tackle, that's just an individual effort. I mean, that's on the player himself to actually go out there and make that tackle when he has a chance to make that tackle. So that's on the player himself. But as far as the gaps, same thing. I mean, it's on that player to know what he got to do and what the scheme and how the scheme worked and know what's going on for him to make that play.
Hopefully I got most of the tough ones out of the way.
That was easy. You know, the tough ones?
All right, we're going to go to the phones here. We have a couple guys standing by. We have Quentin in Bradenton. You there? You're on with Geno Hicks.
Hello.
Yeah.
How you doing, Quentin?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, you're my favorite linebacker on the Bucs, and I just want to know what would make you – do you really want to be the best player on the team, the best linebacker in the league? And another question, do you really think the Bucs will win the Super Bowl and make the playoffs?
I think, you know, that's as individual goal. Like to be one of the greater linebackers in the league, but that's something I have to work on within the defense. I mean, if it's a play to be made, I have to make that play within our defense. And if it's other plays to be made by other guys, I let the other guys make the plays. But I'm a team player. It's nothing about myself. I'm trying to help this team get better every weekend and really go, like you said, go to the playoffs and hopefully get a Super Bowl. So that's something that we're working on as a team. And as each individual understands that, we're going to be better as a team.
How does the D-line and the way they play affect what you do at linebacker? I mean, does that have a lot to do with what you do?
Oh, it has a lot to do. I mean, you got to think of a linebacker as a running back and a D-line as an offensive line. I mean, they're holding up blockers. They're holding up double teams. And then the faster we work as linebackers, it helps the defense out a little better, because if we go shoot a guy faster, you have this three technique out a little better, get off the double team. So it helps us out either, you know, like you got schemes, like the press schemes, stuff like that, zone schemes. Helps out a lot, because now it gives us a chance to stay freer and give us a little bit more time to actually go in the backfield or actually make a tackle off of a block. So it's big time to have two guys or three guys in front of you to really knock the block out for you.
Now, a defensive tackle, if he's getting double teamed, does he try to – keep a hold of those guys so they can't get up to the second level? Because as an offensive guy, every time you double team to somebody.
Yeah.
You don't just double team and stay there.
Those two guys have two guys on the other.
Do they try to help you out a little bit by holding that up?
Sometimes.
I mean, legally they can't grab the guy, but sometimes you can get in there and really get big, so it's harder for them to come off.
Yeah, on certain defensive calls you can, but on the other end, sometimes the LBs can help out the nose tackle or the three technique sometimes because of techniques we have to actually, you know, get guys off the blocks faster. So that's one of the things we can use.
Okay, we're going to take our first break with Geno Hicks. We'll be back on a Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. My guest tonight, Gino Hayes. Lucky Gino.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go back to the phones, but if you want to join in, phone numbers are Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, toll-free, 800-546-4620, and 800-596-BUCKS. 596-2827. And Jeff Ryan just cleared it up for us that Tiffin University is in Ohio, not California. So whatever I heard on the radio today was not true. And he wanted to make sure that I clarified that.
Jeff is the man with the answers.
There's no question about it. Anyway, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Jay in Tampa. You are on with Gino Hayes.
Yes, Gino, thanks for taking my call.
How you doing, Jay? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing excellent. First of all, I respect you for standing up and answering the tough questions. But I have two quick ones for you along the same lines, obviously, because it's such a great concern. But I know you had mentioned about mainly it's not you guys making tackles, hitting gaps. It's not a matter of being soft. But from a fan's perspective, after three straight games of getting gouged with the running game, you know, at what point do we look at that possibility of maybe just being soft? And secondly, why should we not start Steven Jackson this week on our fantasy teams? Thank you.
Oh, man. But, no, I think on the rush defense, I mean, that's something that we have to do as a unit and have to come together as a unit and say, well, you know, we have to stop the run. That's one of the first things we always do as a defense. That's some of the core beliefs that I think should be of any defense is to stop the run and make a team one-dimensional. So I think that's one of the things that I think, you know, guys like Barrett Roode and Rondé Barber will come up in the huddle and say, you know, the run is something we have to stop priority number one. And guys like – younger guys like myself, Quincy Black, McCoy, you know, the other young guys will have to just buy into it.
Pretty much everybody else.
Yeah, pretty much everybody else, yeah. And just buy into it and then really have to knuckle down and get and bow up a little bit because, I mean, the rush is something that you have to stop and you can't have teams coming in running on you. That's just a big no-no. And secondly, the reason you shouldn't start Steven Jackson is because he's going to play the box.
That's a good answer. Well, yeah, I mean, if you look around this league on a weekly basis – you know, teams that don't play well, look at the Saints coming into this game. They had two games they were down, they come back, and they answer it. I mean, that's part of being a professional. You have to find a way to solve problems. And the other teams that game plan against you try to find your weak areas.
Yeah.
So something that you've done well, all of a sudden next week you won't do so well because teams are concentrating on stopping that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys as an offense and a defense both stopping a run and running the football – it's going to be something you guys concentrate on. So I would expect next week, you know, to be able to step up and be able to do that. Yes, the Bucs have given up yards in the last couple of weeks on the ground, certainly not as bad as they did this week. And something interesting that Gerald McCoy said after the game was he feels himself trying to stay in his gap, trying to do his job, but a lot of times that kind of stops you a little bit from being a football player as well. Like the better he understands what he does and responsibility is, the more he can, you know, play within the system, but play full speed. A lot of times, and we all know this, and I think a lot of people can relate to this even in their own life. If, if you're not used to doing something and you're learning, it's impossible for you to do it full speed.
Yes.
And Raheem Morris was even saying, like, it's okay to be in your gap, but to shed the guy and make the tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certain things like that. I mean, if you sit back and watch tape, you watch guys like Rondé, for example. He's a guy that watches tons of film, I mean, and he takes an educated guess on what's coming. I mean, if you make that play, you know you have this gap, but if I know that ball is going to that gap, why not just go shoot that gap because I know the ball's going there. So you're taking an educated guess, and you have to know when to do it. You know, sometimes you just can't take it. Now, that's one thing myself and Gerald was getting used to doing because as you watch tape and you start seeing things more different, like, okay, they're in I formation, the Y off. I know they're running the lead weak or they're running the bend. So you have to really know.
And from film study?
Just from film study and really breaking down the offense for the information coaches give you. So once you're able to get that down and break it down, I mean, it's like, okay, I got this gap, but I'm not going to shoot this gap. I'm going to sit backside and wait for him to bend it back, and I'm going to come back into the gap, fall back into the gap, stuff like that. So once he gets to it, to that point, there's going to be no stopping him, because right now he's playing his gap very well, and he wants to get off and make plays like he did with the tackle for loss he did. You know, he got in his gap, but he set him and got to the play. So once you start making those plays and seeing it unfold on tape, you'll start wondering, okay, I can watch more tape and I see more things, and it give you more possibilities to make plays.
How much better are you this year than you were last year at doing exactly that?
I think I'm a ton better at that, because I learned that the more film you watch, the more studying you do, you can have the more opportunities to make plays. And then again, once you get on tape, and if you don't make a play, if you see yourself that you can make that play, it just makes you want to go into the film room more, even more, and just start critiquing your work and say, well, next time, if I know they're running the dig with the Y, ain't no use me sitting over the back. Just go take the ball.
Just think how much Rondé Barber knows from watching film all those years. I remember last year when I played tight end in my 12th year, I could get in my stance, and by where everybody lined up, the outside linebacker, the safety in the corner, I could tell you what everybody's job was.
Mm-hmm.
And just think, like Derek Brooks, you had the opportunity to come in and play behind him. And, you know, you're watching him. Were you wondering sometimes, like, what in the world is he
– Yeah.
What is he seeing, because he's reading it so fast?
And sometimes when he did that kind of stuff, I would actually kind of be late running into the huddle, because I'd be sitting – as he's coming off, I'm running on to him.
asking
the question, like, what did you read? What did you see? And he always give you, like Raheem said, he's more of a guy that's, you know, 1-2-3, fall back kind of guy. He knows the ins and outs of everything. So – and to learn that ins and out, I mean, you have to really take it from him, but you have to put your own spin to it a little bit.
And one thing I think with Derek, a little different than, you know, Rondé, Raheem classifies him as more of a vigilante type guy. Like, he'll, you know, he'll get a feeling and he'll go out kind of away from his responsibility. And my perception of Derek playing with him all those years was that he was a straight by the book. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my edge from the film study, read the quarterback's eyes like I'm supposed to on the backside of that Tampa 2, where he can, you know, where they try to exploit the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he would cheat over there. And is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
How much did you learn from him?
I learned a ton, man. I'm telling you, I learned a ton from just sitting back, watching him, and understanding the things he did, like in the meeting room. He always tell me, I'll be sitting there looking lost, and he always tap me and say, you got a question to ask. There's no such thing as a dumb question here. So. And just asking questions and seeing things on tape. If I don't understand what's going on and I'm trying to figure out offensive scheme, it's best for me to ask the questions. So I learned that from immediately, just ask questions. And then second, he just said, you know, as far as the scheme, once you learn the scheme, you learn your scheme. You learn your job first. And then you just learn everything else around you. And it kind of opens up your mind as to what's really going on. All right, if I know this guy's outside of me, I can play inside heavily and just not even battle anything he's going outside on.
Right.
You know, so stuff like that. It's something that it seems small, but, I mean, it's very big in contrast, because those are some big tips when you want to make big plays.
Absolutely, especially when you have that help. You got to know where your help is. It's no different than a quarterback knowing where his check down is when he leaves the huddle.
Exactly.
He feels that pressure, he can close his eyes and point to exactly where his scapegoat is. And, you know, that's something to learn from a guy like Derek. I mean, do you still have the opportunity to talk to him?
Yes, I have the opportunity, and then –
does he also watch the film and tell you, hey, you should do something up or what?
I mean, he could watch it on the TV and tell you what's going on, you know, just from watching it on TV. You don't have to watch it on tape. He can tell you immediately after the play starts on TV what's going on.
Does he still give you stuff to think about?
Yeah, he'll give you things to think about all the time. Whatever you need to know about, he's a phone call away.
All right, we're going to get back to the phones. We have Marshall in Largo. You're on with Geno Hayes.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, Marshall? Nice to hear you, man.
I got so many questions, and I don't want to take all of your time, but what I'm confused about is, how much film watching does everybody do? And do they all do the same equal, or do some do more than others? I don't understand why it's so difficult to make adjustments when you see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm presuming the coaches are looking at all films all week long.
Yeah.
So they're trying to help you as much as they can. I'm just confused as to why the difficulty, and why does it take so long to make adjustments? I mean, I'm giving respect to New Orleans without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are too good for the way you're playing.
No doubt.
You're way too good. And to come out with this, it's not acceptable to just say, I realize I did this, or I realize I didn't do that. Is it focusing? Is that a problem? I don't understand it.
To answer your question there, I mean, I can tell you from just watching it and seeing things, I mean, you can tell by who's watching film and who's not watching film. That's very obvious. That's nothing that you can't hide because you'll be lost out there. Even if a coach asks you what's going on, you can't give an answer off the top of your head. You can easily tell who's watching film and who's doing what they got to do. But from telling who's watching the most, I mean, honestly, you have to give guys like, you know, guys like Barrett Rood and Rondé Barber. I mean, I sit down and watch Rondé in his little office by himself, just sitting there having a conversation with me at the same time, watching film. I mean, things like that. I mean, you really have to value those kind of informational guys because that's very big. But I can't really answer the question about who's watching more and how much guys are watching because I'm not with the guys 24/7 after, you know, we leave here. I mean, if they want to watch film on their own, they can watch film on their own, but I can't really tell you what they're doing in their own private time. I know I am, so I can't speak for any other man other than what they can do for themselves. But, and like you said, yeah, we are too good to really, you know, give up those points because from the history of Buck Ball, that's something that's not, you know, that's not acceptable anywhere. Or, you know, that's just not what we do around here as far as a Buck defense. I mean, we pride ourselves on winning defense, and that's something you have to really build ourselves on.
Well, I can answer that after playing for a long time. Not every guy watches film like they should.
Yeah.
You know, you have different guys, but one of the reasons guys like Rondé and Derek and they stay around that long is because they take the time.
Yes.
You know, you have every resource you need. You can walk into the film guy and say, listen, I want every third and less than five, or I want nothing but more than 4 yard runs. And those video guys will give you everything you need. You can take it home. Tax wise, you can write off your TV you watch it on as a player.
Pretty
so
much, yeah.
You have all the resources. But the problem is, some guys are professionals and some aren't. And what happens is you do weed yourself out because when a coach is put on the film, they can tell guys that watch it and guys that don't watch it. And it becomes obvious over time because guys like yourself will get better at reading plays. You know, you had 14 tackles for losses last year.
Yeah.
Well, you're on pace this year to have more than 20. Well, that's not coincidence. That's film study. That's work. And the guys that don't do that, that's why the average player plays under 4 years.
That's true.
Because they
very
put
true
in the time. So,
very true.
Marshall, good question. If you want to join us on the phones, phone numbers, Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620. And 800-596-2827. We're going to go back to the phones. We have Brian in Plant City. You're on with Geno Hayes.
How you doing, Brian?
Hey, I'm not doing too good.
Understandable.
You probably don't know me, but I'm very tough.
Understandable.
And when I see what I'm seeing out there, it's not acceptable.
You're right.
How can you turn it on? You played good against a team, to me, that I think is much better than New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come home and you I don't see no consistency.
You're right.
And if they're going to play like that,
you're right. You
don't see no consistency. You got to be consistent week in and week out.
That's right. That's very true. That's one of the things we're talking about right now at $1.
And I'm back to the point now where I want to see some new faces out there next week. Get rid of them. I mean, we ain't got time to play. And then they wonder why the stadium is a fool.
Okay.
Then they want us out there, but then when you get out there, you ain't performing at home.
You're right.
And I'm saying it as a team. I can't pick out and say, well, this one is tackling, and that one, you're just going as a team. So it's up to y'all to get on them who ain't doing it.
You're right, and that's something that we as leaders of the team have to really step up in and say, you know, have to step up really and say that's something we have to work on. And if guys not aboard, I mean, either you don't train on the board or the train leaves.
It's a good answer. Well, thank you for Brian in Plant City.
I like it, though. I'm glad he's mad. That's good.
To his point, yes, there's inconsistent play. And if it is a guy, then you got to get rid of him. You got to bring another guy in. Sometimes young guys, they're trying. Just like we were talking about with McCoy, you stick your face in your gap. You do your best you can to do your job, but then you got to be a playmaker as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of leads in a little bit the type of player that you are, the fact that you're doing your study, you've improved from last year, you know, you read it, you take off. Now, let me ask you, I see you come flying through the backfield and tackle these guys for a 4 and 5 yard loss. Is that film study? What makes you pull the trigger like that?
It's film study. I mean, it's really basically,
are you just flat out guessing?
No, it's basically film study. And sometimes it's actually in-game things that you learn. And sometimes you hear quarterbacks say, oh, you know, a check here, a check there, or a certain call, a certain color of a call. Mm-hmm. And you know automatically, oh, he checked it from the weak side to a strong side, or things like that. I mean, but honestly, it's really from film study. I mean, because if they go out in a heavy formation and they usually run out of that formation, it actually starts from the front line up. If you're watching tape and you see guards heavy on their front hand or guys are light, you can tell if it's pass or run. So that comes from film study.
And explain that. When you see a guy that's heavy, what does that – I know what it means because I was probably real heavy on my hands. What exactly does that mean?
It means like say if you see a guard, I mean, because I read guard. I read the triangle guards back to the backfield. And if a guard is really heavy, guards never lie in some schemes. I mean, so if a guard's heavy on his hand, that means he's coming off hard. And if he's light, he's going to either pull or he's going to be in pass protection. So if you're watching him and during the game, the course of the game, if he's doing the same thing you see on tape, it gives you a little hint because now you can look to the left of him or the right of him and say, oh, okay, the center's doing the same thing. So now I know they're going to double this nose and create a two-gap scheme. So either I'm going to shoot my gap, even one-man gap and one-man front. I mean, one-gap front, I'm an eight-man front, one-gap, one-man. Just shoot it because I know it's a run game. So just take it off.
Right. So heavy on your hand means run. Obviously, you can't pop up and get backwards
No. For
pass protection. All right, we got to go to break. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get back with Geno Hayes. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome back with Geno Hayes. If you want to join us on the phones, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. Before we go back to the phones, let's talk a little bit about your style of play. You had the opportunity to play behind Derrick Brooks and learn from him, and he was more of a conservative guy, calculated risk guy. And I read an article that compares you more to the Rondé Barber-ish type guy, the vigilante, where you like to take chances or you think you see something, you go with it. You know, is that becoming more calculated as you gain wisdom through play in the league?
I think it's more a little bit of both. I mean, if you're a player, you're a player. And sometimes your instincts take over the knowledge that you know about the game, you know. So I think it's a little bit of both. And like you said, if I see something and I know it's coming, I'm not going to just try to waste myself over here if I see it over there, you know. So if it's a run like a power or anything, I'm not going to stay backside unless I have to stay backside in the defense. So, I mean, yeah, basically it's pretty much both of them because I have to. That's something I do.
Now, does Raheem give you the opportunity to kind of have your own personality within the system, or is he saying, hey, I want you to make sure that you're where you need to be?
I mean, he gives
There's
you
a fine
freedom.
Line, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it is a fine line, but he gives you freedom. I mean, but at the same time, once you learn the actual things that goes on, the intricacies of the defense, I mean, you can really take your chances because you know what's coming. If you know you're a lurker and you know they got like a big heavy X dig team or they like to run a lot of fiery pass and stuff like that, you can really cheat a lot of the stuff that you want to do on, especially when you get the situations down in distance, clock time, things that they do. I mean, you can really take the chances within the defense. So I'm getting used to doing that as well, just going off instincts.
So to say that in English, the X-Dig and the fire, basically it's routes that recognize
as you know
from
that's
formations and stuff. So it gives you the opportunity to kind of jump those to have chances at interceptions and things like that. That's something Aqib does on the outside sometimes. And you know, it's very visible when you get a corner outside.
Oh,
you guys, when you're on the inside, you can kind of do some things and people don't notice. But when you're out there by yourself and you take a shot and you don't make that shot, you know, it usually gives up a big play where you guys usually have help over the top, so it's not as noticeable. But that vigilante-type guy linebacker, that's something Junior Seau was famous for. He'd do the film study, read the guards, read their stance, and he would hit it full speed. He'd make some big plays.
Yeah.
But in film study, as an offensive guy, we're saying, hey, this guy likes to take some chances, so potentially
so
you can
kind
hurt
of
him. So
that's
why there's a fine line, right? Exactly.
You want him to be too aggressive. You have to know if we're playing against a big boot team, of course they're going
to
come out and run two or three plays with you. Okay, we got you. Now you got to be ready.
You got to know who you can do it against.
You know, you have to think on the other side of the ball, too, as well, because they'll set plays up for you actually to mess up on. So you have to be ready for that kind of stuff.
Well, Raheem has categorized you as a very excitable guy. Are you a trash talker out there?
Yes, I do. I talk trash here and now, but it's nothing like, you know, the trash as well. I'm trying to degrade anybody. It's the trash that we hear. You know, I'm trying to boost the guys up and say, yeah, y'all can run all you want to, but hey, we still gonna be here hitting you right in your mouth, man. Guys, you know, we go back and forth and like, yeah, y'all ain't doing nothing, yada yada yada. So, you know, it's a little trash talking. It's nothing bad.
I had the chance last week to talk to Donald Penn, and he was like, absolutely, I'm a trash talker. Yeah. And I was like, well, what about some of those defensive ends like John Abraham? And oh no, I don't talk to them. He didn't want to get them all fired up. All right, we're gonna go back to the phones. We have Carlos in Tampa. You have a question for Geno Hayes?
Hey, Dave, Geno.
How you doing, Carlos?
Hey, what's going on, man? Dave kind of led into my question. You said when a team runs on you, it's like an ultimate sign of disrespect.
Yes.
And I heard a report saying sometime during the game that Sean Payton told you they were going to run on you all day. Is that true? Or I mean, you know, if a
was
coach
he
is
at?
Telling you. Yeah, the coach is telling you that they're going to do it. Oh, somebody said, like, during halftime or something that Sean Payton was talking noise during the game and told the defense they were going to run on you all game.
Yeah, that's,
they were just going
to
keep doing it.
He's one of those guys, one of the coaches that does like to talk a lot of smack, but it's good for the game. But yeah, he did come out and say, yeah, he told me, well, you know, you stopped the run, stuff like that, you know. Stuff.
When did he say that?
He said on the sideline, but, you know, it was good. I mean, it was good he said it because it kind of amped me up, and I tried to go get the other guys amped up right along with me, you know.
Yeah, well, if he's going to do that, then you got to smash him and, you know, cut that off, but. I mean, they were successful, so
it's kind of like he won that battle words when he said that.
All right, well, hey, you got another shot at him, so you can keep him quiet and reward him.
Oh yeah, no
doubt. All right, but you guys have a good night.
You too.
So, what was your answer to that when he said that? You didn't say anything.
I said some stuff.
That's something I wouldn't expect. I wouldn't expect the head coach to be talking trash over there. Nothing you can repeat on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not do that. All right, let's go back to the phones on that note. We have Peter in St. Pete. Peter
Dave?
In St. Pete? Yes.
Dave, Dave and Gino, this is Peter. My question is primarily for Dave, and that he's been around a while. And I've been with the Bucs from day one, and I adore them. I'm an eternal optimist, and I love the way they started this year. I was at the game yesterday, and I was there through every one of the Bucs' defeats initially and just couldn't help but root for them from the beginning. I honestly have to say that the defensive line performance yesterday was the most pathetic performance I have ever seen in the 30-whatever-5 years I've been going to the Bucs.
I've seen some pretty bad ones.
Wow. That's,
well,
that's
I've been there for all of them, Dave. And I just want to know, I mean, I know y'all don't have the answers, but what hope do I have to hold out for when they're running 8, 10, 12 yards, 4 or 5 times a game, and the defensive line's on their back, and poor people like Gino and Rondé are having to make the tackles? What am I missing?
Well, one of the things that you have to keep in mind is when you have a quarterback like Drew Brees, there's answers for the run game. You can bring a safety up into the box. You can bring 8 guys. But you can't really take safeties out of the middle of the field when you have Drew Brees. So the problem you have is you try to be as balanced as you can, and you try to stop it with the 7 guys up front who are in the box, your 4 defensive linemen and linebackers. Mm-hmm. When you're unable to do that, if you try to cheat, then you potentially give up the big play. And then if you can't stop the run, you also leave yourself vulnerable to play action. I don't know. What do you think about that?
That's exactly what you said. I mean, if you can't stop the run, it sets up so much more in a passing game for the offense with a guy like Drew Brees who can actually read the defense and tell his offense what to do at the line of scrimmage. So that's something that's big. And like we said earlier, I mean, you have to be able to stop the run and force a team to be one-dimensional, because if you give a team a good basically 3 ways to get you, I mean, it's kind of hard to defend that.
And between attack, I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, even when Monty Kiffin was here, you know, there was always questions between the tackles. Can they stop to straight ahead? I mean, the defense is built on undersized linebackers that can run. You're asking the middle linebacker to take on a lead blocker and stop a dive play and then turn around and cover the middle of the field in Tampa, too.
Yeah.
You know, you're traditionally been an undersized linebacker, but you fit into this system and what they're asking you to do. And the best thing the Bucs can do scheme-wise is to plug the insides and get the running back to go laterally and let you guys use your speed and run it down. And that's where you play your best, is when you get to run that stuff down. Mm-hmm. you know, but how do you answer that? You have two young guys inside. Ryan Sims came in, made a couple big plays in the run game late yesterday. But you can't put a 320-pounder in there because of the scheme you're asking him to play. Yeah. So, you know, I don't really know exactly. You know, the philosophy is bend, don't break. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you guys bent, but the problem is you weren't able to shore up and get that field goal like you normally would. All right, we're going to phone numbers one more time, and then we're going to go to Mike in Tampa. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. 727-461-4620, toll-free 800-546-4620, and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. We have Mike in Tampa. You're on with Gino Hayes.
Hey, Dave. Gino, how you doing?
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Gino, you need to talk to your agent. Make sure he gets you on the show after a win. It's tough days. You gotta do this after
I feel bad. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. Hey. He's going to be like, man, I'm not talking to that guy no more.
You have to be able to talk in wins and losers, man.
Well, that's what I said. I give you respect for coming on and doing this. It looked like the last caller kind of mentioned it. I would certainly say it probably wasn't our worst defensive line performance, but it certainly wasn't in the top five for good ones either, because it looked like they were getting 4 yards before contact. Mm-hmm. And that kind of – I was trying to see if you can – I'm not trying to get you to throw your defensive lineman under the bus, obviously. But,
oh, I won't do that, no.
But what can you do when you see – From your standpoint, what type of changes should be made when you're getting, like I said, I mean, obviously you average 10 yards a carry, but he was getting 4 yards before contact on a lot of runs. What can you do scheme-wise to, you know, when that happens in the future? I mean, because they're not being, I mean, Steven Jackson's coming to town. He's a big runner too.
Yeah.
Their offensive line for the Rams obviously isn't as good as the Saints' offensive line, but it seems like you're going to be running into a similar situation next week, and that may be the kind of the blueprint. So I was kind of trying to get an idea of what you guys will do to try and curb that.
Okay, I understand. But to answer your question, really is you have to really look at the game and see that we're playing against the New Orleans Saints. They have a lot of different personnel groupings going out there, and for the most of the time when they had a lot of runs, that really just broke off. I mean, we was really basically in like dime packages and like a 45 package, and we only had like seven guys in the box. We had two DBs on the outside and one middle backer in the middle. So it's kind of hard to defend the run when the runner is really in a dot and the quarterback is on the center. It's kind of hard to defend that when you only have like really seven guys in the box and they have extra man to get to one of your defenders. So it's kind of hard to defend that. So that's probably one of the reasons why you saw a guy getting down the field 4 yards, 5 yards before he got tackled, because of, you know, the scheme that we had put out on the field, the group we put out on the field to defend the pass, but they really ran the ball on us.
And the offense, you have to give the Saints credit.
Yes,
they do
to.
So many things. Yeah. They spread you out. They intentionally will put everybody out of there and try to even get six guys in the box. I do agree that their offensive line controlled the line of scrimmage.
They did.
You
they
know,
did.
Against it. But that they are the Saints. They're very good offensively. I think Sean Payton – he was a coach when I went to the Pro Bowl in 07, and his offensive mind, I mean, he's very good at creating matchups and using formations and that window dressing we were talking about earlier to really, you know, put you at a disadvantage on defense. And, you know, once it started going, it was really tough to stop.
Going downhill from there.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate the call. We'll go to Paul in St. Pete.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
Gino, I hope you're doing well. I can understand, you know, dealing with things as they are. It's not pleasant at this point in time, but, you know, you take the game as it presents itself to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave, just want to let you know that I was up in Pittsburgh, went to the O. The fries are still just as good as they were when you were there.
I like it. no place like the O.
That's right. And then, Gino, I just got in from Pittsburgh. And I listened to your comments with regard to film study. And what I wanted to ask you about is, I understand with the scheme, or you're looking for schemes early in the week, I would imagine, and you're trying to perfect that in practice. But I would ask whether or not there are enough guys that are looking at mechanics of offensive linemen as far as tipping off where they're going, for instance, when they're pulling and stuff. Because I know officials do that.
Yeah.
And officials look to find out how you guys cheat during the week. They go through a lot of film study, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand that, but that's exactly what goes on. And I would think that that's probably where your emphasis is, say, about Wednesday or Thursday.
Yes, that's right. That is so true. You know, you go in on Tuesday or you go early on a Wednesday morning, you get some film, you watch film. And for me, I really just start from, like I said earlier, from the offensive line back, because they give you so many tips and their stance, because some guys are too big to get down and have the time, you know.
At 320, it's hard to show that you're not pulling.
You know, so sometimes it's kind of hard, you know. So you have to look at those things, because it gives you an extra step in what you're trying to do on the field. So, I mean, it's an extra step that you need to have, and it's something that I think a lot of guys should watch.
It's just an added thing. I mean, you could read from the way the backs are in motion,
yes,
or the way,
yeah,
the formation is set.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that extra key, that gets you into the hole a lot quicker than it would otherwise.
A whole lot quicker.
You know? And you're able to make a play. And, you know, I think that, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not on the field with you guys. But my experience in the past is, you know, you have two types of players in football. You have WTF players during the week in practice and WTF players on the field during the game, and the latter are the ones that are making mistakes.
All right, we won't ask you to describe
that.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. But yeah, I agree with that.
That's a good one, though, yeah.
That's both sides of the ball, yeah, though. I mean, you try to get your tips. If a guy on defense is slanting, we would see he would cheat his lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimately, as a player, you have to do your job.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you forget about what you look like before you put yourself in position to,
yeah,
do your job. It's,
yeah,
like disguise and coverages. Some guys do it better than others. They don't, mm-hmm, want to get caught out of position to give up the big play.
Yep.
I mean, do you, on the other side of the ball, do you watch yourself to see if you give stuff away or not?
Yes, I do. I mean,
because you know they're
early
on the other side doing the same thing.
The same thing. Yes, I mean, I remember early in, like in the offseason, I was really just trying to practice on learning how to disguise our defense sometimes. And I look back at myself last, and I was really messing the disguise up because I was disguising totally wrong. Like, okay, we want to run the blitz here. Don't even disguise on that side. Disguise over here, so make them turn the whole line this way. You know, turn the protection the other ways, and create a one on one that side. So once I sat down and actually watched that stuff, and I really started, you know, okay, we're going to run a blitz over here. The safety has to come down here. Why not show over here on this number two and think, I'm in man, and he's back deep. You know, things like that, and have a blitz coming from the backside. So it's things like that that you have to really understand and really go in and critique. If you don't critique yourself, you can't really do anything, because if you're not evaluating yourself as a player and bettering yourself, I mean, you're not doing anything
for
the team.
The more you know, the better player you're going to be, because,
yes,
you know, it's just like – talking with Derek Brooks about understanding everybody's job on defense. Well, if you understand protection,
yes,
if you overload a side,
yes,
you know that quarterback's got to shift everybody, or the center,
mm-hmm,
has to say, hey, listen, we need to turn everybody right because everybody's over there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand that they're going to do that to set up a blitz that's going to come the other side so a guy comes free,
yeah,
that's just a full understanding. And that goes back to the point that's why some guys stay around a long time and other guys don't.
And that's a good thing to have guys like Jeff Fain. You can actually go and ask questions about that kind of stuff. How you guys blocking this up? How you guys see this? Who you going to really turn to? And things like that. So I just take all
that. And that's something as a player I wish I did a little bit more was talk and sit with the defensive guys. Really, you know, I did it a little bit with, mm-hmm, Derek and, you know, Warren Sapp and some of the guys that played on defense. All right, we're going to go back, take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the Rams on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network. Welcome back. We're finishing up here with Geno Hayes, the lucky man. Got to come in after a 31-6 loss.
Yes,
spent
sir.
A little time.
Yes, sir.
Callers were pretty gentle for the most part. Let's talk a little special teams. You know, that body type that special team coaches love. And I know that Rich Bisacci is a fan of yours, and you came in your first year there, got the block of punt for a touchdown. Do you still participate a lot as a starter on special teams?
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't let you off the hook, huh?
No doubt. I love to go out there and do that, man. I mean, that's something that you have to – I mean, if you really want to win, you have to find a way to help your team win. That's one of the big things, because you can help out on field position, turnover battle, things like that. So that's something I love to do.
Well, you're a pretty versatile guy. I think last year you had a stat pretty much in every defensive category. I have to ask you a question, though. I can ask this because, you know, I went to the combine and ran. What'd you run a 40 in coming out of college?
I ran a 40 in, like, a 4.6.
4.6?
Yeah, something like that.
I can ask that.
But I'm not a track star, so.
I ran a forever 40 coming out back in the day. I ask guys that all the time. Half of them won't give me a real answer. Was that an Indianapolis
that
turf
was
time?
Indy.
Or was
Indy,
that
I ran a 4.6.
Was that a
turf
pro day in your socks?
No, I ran a 4.6 and in Indy, and I ran a 4.5 on grass at Florida State.
Yeah.
But I'm not a track star. That's something I've done.
4.6 is rolling. How much you weigh?
Right now I'm about 228.
Really?
Yeah.
You like to take on fullbacks?
Depends on volume.
You'd rather run around
if I see he's kind of soft. I see he's kind of soft a little bit. I'm not gonna just run into him. Just,
you're gonna go
blow
him up. Well, we have to talk. We have to talk Madison County High School real quickly,
yes, sir.
Because I promised Gino I would do that. Tell me, they had a big win this past weekend.
Yeah, versus Lincoln High School in Tallahassee, Florida. Man, killed them. We're 218. We take on any 5A team, 6A, no matter what A. We're gonna take you on.
Now, what is it like to play in your home state? That's something every player dreams about, the opportunity to play in their home state.
To me, I really have lived a dream. Like, I went from being a big fan of Florida State to go actually play at Florida State, and then being a big fan of Tampa Bay Buccaneers and have an opportunity to go play for the Buccaneers. I mean, and actually being in the same state at the same time is like,
you have to buy a lot of tickets every week?
A lot of people come down
to check you out?
Not actually, because, you know, tickets cost a little bit. You know, they cost like $2.95, I think. So
you got to put them outside the club.
It depends. On some weeks, I bring some family in. I could bring some kids that I know in around the community and let them come in.
Now, who is your favorite player growing up?
Favorite player? As far as what? Offense, defense, special teams?
Just give me one. Give me one of each, offense and defense.
Offensive defense. Peyton Manning's a big guy. I love on offense. Just to watch him play.
How about when you were growing up?
When I was growing up, yeah, it was Ray Lewis.
Well, that's
Derek
your
Brooks.
I was just gonna say, God, you're that young. I was thinking like the guys that I watch, you probably know who they are.
Yeah, I got Ray Lewis, Derek Brooks, and I love to watch the great Sean Taylor before he passed, and guys like that in offense. I love to watch Peyton Manning, no doubt, because I just like how he just goes out there and take over a game.
Now, were you always a linebacker, or did you play other positions too?
Oh, let me see. I played the three technique in high school, DN, played a receiver, played tight end, and yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much did them all. Other sports?
I tried baseball. That wasn't my thing. And then I tried basketball. It was too much back and forth, and I was getting a little tired, a little winded. So I said, nah, I'm playing football. At least I get a break after the play is over with.
Since you're a straight football guy. Track? Yeah. Were you a track guy?
I ran track. I did hurdles. I did the 110 hurdles, and I did the 300 hurdles, and I got the state in both of them.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't win. I came in, like, I think it was fourth.
I thought you said you weren't a track guy.
I ran track, but I wasn't like a sprinter. I wasn't like a 100-yard sprinter. I wasn't that. That's not me. That wasn't my cup of tea right there.
All right. We only got a couple minutes. So Florida State's where you always wanted to go, right?
Yes.
Did you get recruited a bunch of other places?
I got recruited everywhere.
All right, quickly. We have a couple minutes. The St. Louis Rams coming to town. They're 0-2 on the road. They're playing well at home. But you're going to have the same things to deal with. You got a big physical running back. Mm-hmm. You have a quarterback, young guy, but he's hot right now. What are you thinking initially? I know you haven't had time really to watch the film or game plan. But just your initial thoughts.
I think that, you know, the team that, I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, any Sunday, any team come out and beat you, so – with these guys, you have to take the same approach as the next game is a big game because you're playing against an NFL team with NFL caliber players. So, and with the young quarterback being hot, I mean, you have to go out there and really take advantage of that kind of stuff, especially him being a young quarterback and throwing some different things at him, giving him different looks.
Now, is he the type of guy, I'm sure you want to blitz him like crazy, just like everybody does with Freeman, right?
I think so. I mean, it depends on what we got going on upstairs.
That's probably not your call, right?
I'm just going to do my job. Hopefully I can, try to slide some stuff in there.
Well, on the other side of the ball, you know it's a copycat league. They're going to consistently blitz Freeman. I think positives from this past week, Freeman made some good decisions. He got the ball out of his hands, didn't take as many hits. Some of the throws weren't as accurate, but until he hits those things and really makes the defense pay, he's going to continue to see it. And the Rams are going to try to pound you.
You're right about that.
Right up the middle. So expect it. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you, callers. We appreciate you going pretty much easy on Gino Hayes.
You could have came a little harder. You guys were.
We have Ledge on tomorrow night, and the game, one more in Tampa State. Well, Raymond James Stadium next Sunday. Let's rebound, not lose two in a row. Thank you for listening to the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.